Hello and welcome to BSN Extra. I'm your host, Jason Barfield, and we've got Bobby Williams back in studio today as we're going to continue our discussion about funding in college athletics and specifically to Sam Houston and some of the challenges that are ahead for this program and what steps need to be taken to meet the needs of the student athletes at this level of college athletics these days. So we're going to have Bobby in here talking about that, all of it coming up in just a moment here on BSN Extra.
Get ready for a great week of soccer in Lynchburg. From November 2nd through the 7th, Liberty hosts the 2025 Conference USA Women's Soccer Championship. The league's top teams face off in a week of high-stake matches, all fighting for the conference crown and a shot at the NCAA tournament.
Shot and scores!
Shoot, scores!
High stakes, big moments, and it all comes down to this. Catch the action in Lynchburg or follow along at ConferenceUSA.com.
Weekdays are a grind. Traffic, overflowing inbox, missed calls. Your weekdays deserve better. And this October, Conference USA is bringing better straight to your living room. Weekday CUSA is back. Conference USA is here to make your weekdays fun again. Enter a world of college football bliss. Treat yourself to touchdowns, turnovers, and the thrills that come with weekday CUSA football. CUSA is the star of the show weeknights all October long. Don't miss one second of the action.
And welcome back to BSN Extra. Jason Barfield here, and I'm now joined by Bobby Williams. And Bobby, good to have you back. A week later than what we had originally planned on. Successful surgery for you this past week?
Yeah, for the last month I've had cataract and LASIK surgery, so everything went well, and I can see a lot better. It's amazing how bad my eyes were until I got this done, but I'm thankful I did. Everything went well. I still have to have a few reading glasses, but I can see things a lot better and a lot clearer now.
Things clearing up for you, huh?
It's always fun.
So what's been what's the latest? What's been going on over this last, really since the last time that we've talked? Any new developments or anything like that within the department, or you know, anything you want to chat about specifically?
Well, you know, I think we go back to trying to get people the right information on what's going on, what we've been doing. We've been doing a lot over the last 4 years or so with three different conferences and the move to Conference USA. And I remember, I've said this so many times, but Dr. White, we talked about it, that we need to not make the same mistakes that we did back in the 80s when we moved from Division II to Division I and had to be university-backed. And she's done an amazing job of helping us get to that situation. You know, when we first made the move to Conference USA, we had two buckets, so to speak, that we had to deal with. One, we knew we had to improve facilities. And I'm really excited about what we've done, renovating the Coliseum, even adding new pullout seats, renovating Maffridge Fieldhouse, building the new tennis facility, replacing the fields at both baseball and softball, doing the same thing at Bowers with the field, you know, moving the track, trying to get the new track going, and just everything to deal with that facility part of it, and then adding a $60 million press box. And, you know, when you look at it, it's over $80 million or more in bonds that we have and things that we have to pay back. I don't think people realize that just because we have a bond that it's automatically done and paid for, we have to pay that back. And that's why we've been working with University Advancement, Matt Bethay and everyone, Joe Reed and Kevin Freilich have been doing a really great job of trying to identify donors and to help pay for those bond payments. And that's important as we move forward, because we have to have great quality facilities. We had to create facilities that generate revenue, and that's what we're doing. And so it's a fun part about that, but that's just the one piece of the puzzle that we've got. And the other is operations. That was the second bucket that we looked at. And I told Dr. White, with what she's done, with you know how we're funded, how University Advancement, IMCs come into play, all the different things in marketing and ticketing that's under the university now, that the university has ownership as long as athletics too, that we're all working together, I think is extremely positive. But, you know, our operational budget, just how we go about doing things, getting teams where they need to be from travel, outfitting them, whatever it may be, I had said that we needed a $25 million budget. I got my budget the other day, and it's over $28 million. So those two buckets, we've been working really hard through a variety of different sources. You know, with the new revenue we've got from moving to Conference USA, television, game guarantees, everything else, and plus university funding that has been amazing, what they're investing in our program, the increase in scholarships, everything like that. That's what we've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years in this move. And that's tough enough as it is, trying to just compete in making those improvements. But then this little thing, I don't know what happened back in July, but it's been going on for about a year or so, the house settlement and NIL and rev share.
It's changed the game a little bit, huh?
Changed it, yeah, just a tiny bit. It's not that, you know, not that. Doesn't keep me up at night if I'm worried about it or anything like that. But, you know, we knew once we found that out, it was coming. And so, but we had to prioritize. And
yeah.
And Dr. White has helped us prioritize what we need to do with those first two buckets. And now we're trying to prioritize this.
I'm about to say, when you look at, you know, in terms of your first two buckets, and you're talking about facilities, and you're talking about operations, and, you know, while you have to plan for that, the way you generate the revenue, kind of the sources for that revenue, that was already in place. Those
right.
were components the university already had built in, and it wasn't necessarily a matter of trying to find new ways to fund that. It's just using the current resources and the current policies in place to be able to fund that stuff. How different is it with the rev share now, and not only just adding a third bucket, a third source to have to pour money into, but in terms of how you have to acquire that money and apply that to rev share, NIL, whatever, you know, whatever it is?
Well, right now it's got to be external in some form or fashion.
Like
or
completely?
Honestly, a high percent of it needs to be external. We're working with some game guarantee opportunities or even some of our fundraising as far as auctions and some different ways. We're also working hopefully soon to announce something about with another company that can do business-to-business models that will help us generate some revenue that's non-traditional from a Van Wagner perspective or a university advancement donation level that enhances that. So we're hoping we're able to do that in the next week or so to try to get that done. We've been working on that and trying to maneuver, going through the policies of the universities, making sure it matches everything we're doing. And you know, another thing that people don't realize is, you know, when we're raising that money to pay for the bonds and we can get that paid for, then the revenue that those buildings produce, then that helps us to offset operations cost and potential rev share and IL. I mean, all three buckets have to work together on that. But right now, the big part of this is external. And we've identified a dollar amount too, because I know we've talked, been a lot of meetings, Conference USA, been a lot of meetings with a lot of athletic directors over the last month. And you know, we've got goals that we're going, and I'll share those here in a minute, but we've got goals that we can do to be competitive. I think we can be competitive now. I mean, we just got to play a little bit better. I mean, that's the key thing I told the team about earlier. I said, there's not anybody better than us. We're struggling right now, but we just got to play better. And I think if we play to our potential and level, I think we can be successful. And I ask them to do that, to keep trying to get better so that while we're doing some of these other things and all these three buckets to help them and help our program to be successful, we can do that.
So let's talk about that process then, and, you know, kind of what you're going into here. And before we get into that, I actually there is one thing I want to touch on. I would like to have talked about it last time, and it's one of those things after the fact I thought about it. But you know we've talked about, you know, in an ideal world, you know, what this transition would be like. And, you know, when you're looking at a timeline, historically, what does this normal timeline look like when you're not just transitioning an athletic department or a football program, but as a university? What sort of timeline is typically expected, especially, you know, y'all were going through the feasibility studies, and I know they were giving you guidelines and notes saying, okay, if you want to make this move, you're going to start it on this date. It's going to take you ideally until this date. What kind of historically was that timeline like? And what does the timeline look like now?
I think 4 to 5 years is when we started this. And if you look, the success we had in football last year, the success we had in men's basketball that first year, if it was just those first two buckets and all we had to deal with, we could do like we've done in the past. We could compete. We could win. But rev share and NIL changed the game totally and accelerated that time frame. And it's also created a lot of volatility not only in the market, but up and down with teams. You're seeing that turn on the, you know, we're playing midweek games, so you can watch a little bit on Saturday and see even people that have supposedly all the revenue share, they're struggling. I mean, and it's challenging. It's up and down, with especially with the portal. I think that was probably the major game changer, being able to transfer and not knowing, you know, with 55 new players that we got this year. And I think Phil and the staff did a very good job of getting them here. But we got it. We got to also retain people, and we got to get some more, because it's going to be very volatile.
It almost takes an immediate reassess of your process, doesn't it? Like, you don't have, hey, this offseason, we're going to need to sit down and look at this. It's almost become a thing that you're looking at, what are we doing? What can we be doing different? And is this something we can start doing in October?
Well, I go back to 2017. I mean, I talk about this all the time. It's a great example. I mean, this is the fourth or fifth time I've had to deal with this up and down in a sport. But you go back to 2017, we lost to North Dakota State. Casey and I sat down, and we found some funding. It took us a little bit, 3 years. Then we had to deal with COVID, won a national championship. The interesting part about that is we did not see a windfall in revenue, whether it was external donations or, matter of fact, I told you, you know, it cost us that year to play on ABC and ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Probably lost $300,000. So we didn't see a revenue increase, and you'd think, to win a national championship. And then we make the move to Conference USA, and everything that we did under the two-bucket system, so to speak, got us to a bowl game. Casey and them did a great job. We worked with them. We did a lot of things, too, to get to that, to go to win 10 wins and go to a bowl game and win it. But we haven't seen the revenue of a 10-win bowl season externally from that. That's disappointing. That's very disappointing. And everybody seems to have the right answers, so to speak. Well, you need to do this. You need to do that. The funniest one I heard was, we need to email people. And I want to go, that's so 1999. You know, I mean, that's, wow, big deal. That's a good one. Thank
you. Hit them on their AOL Instant Messenger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, dial in. Whatever it was. But, you know, that's the thing that people don't understand. You know, if we just still had the two-bucket system, we'd be fine. And the other thing that I forgot to say is the house settlement also allowed us to increase scholarships. It reduced the number of people that we could have on a squad, but also, I mean, we can put in 20 new football scholarships in. And the university has invested in our scholarships, invested in things that have, you know, upwards to about $10 million. Our budget's grown from 18 to 28 million through a variety of different sources, whether it's university stepping up or television revenue, game guarantees, whatever it may be. And debt service, too. So that's a positive, and people need to understand that that's what we've been doing. It's not like we just woke up and figured we had to do rev share, but when you're dealing with those first two buckets, that's quite a challenge, and I think everybody in our conference and everybody in this country is dealing with it. Some people are able to handle it a little bit better, but we're trying. So
it's forced you to reassess, hasn't it? Like the way – And really prioritize a couple of other areas and say, like, we do need to shift some stuff over this way. And some decisions are probably different now than they were, say, 3 years ago.
No doubt. And, you know, it's about shifting the buckets. It's about moving and being very agile when you can do that to respond to what the market's telling you. And the other thing is trying to determine what the market really is. What are players receiving? What is so-and-so getting? And there's a variety of different things that we're working as a conference, we're working individually and trying to determine that and seeing how that works. And once you determine that, because, I mean, anybody can embellish a lot of things. Some of these contracts you're seeing or some of these things that people are saying may not always be true. But we're trying to fit it within who we are at Sam Houston and how we can be competitive in Conference USA.
So then what's the next step for you then? I mean, where do you go from here in terms of contributing to that rev share and that third bucket? Where are you having to go to get that?
Well, I put it this way. I may get a little emotional because, you know, after our game Thursday, woke up Friday morning, and Janet and I, my wife, you know, our legacy here at Sam Houston is 44 years. We met here 44 years ago. We've been married 41 years. And, you know, our mom, dad, her family, even though my family's Rice, that's where my dad graduated from there, played in the Cotton Bowl team. I played there, you know, my mom. But they also embraced Sam Houston because I've been here for 44 years. And Janet's family, you know, her dad played football here. And my brother-in-law played football here. They've got 12 degrees from Sam Houston, including Janet's two, Alex's two, my youngest daughter and oldest daughter, Audrey. So that's a lot of investment as a family with the Williamses and the Stone family into Sam Houston, and especially Sam Houston football, because that's why I came here. I mean, when I got here in 1982 and Coach Randleman hired me, I didn't realize that I'd be here 44 years and get to have the impact good in making this place better. And now Janet and I were talking this weekend, and we were planning on doing, and mind you, we're all coming from coaches, kids, educators, both our dads, and we've been educators. Janet was a principal in elementary school down in Montgomery, and she worked in the education department here with student teachers for a long time. I hadn't always made that much money at Sam Houston over the years. But I did an evaluation about 3.5 years ago of lifetime donors, since we've been tracking them since the 80s. And I was really proud of the fact that Janet and I were in the top 100 out of about 4,000 donors. That's really positive for us. But as an AD, why are we in the top 100?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. Hey, why are we in the top 100? Why, you know, so I tried to figure out why people weren't doing what they should do. This is their school. It's not my school. Not my school. I'm 44 years here, but it's not my alma mater. Okay, it's Janet's family. And that's not even counting my mother and father-in-law, who are probably in the top 200 of what they gave before they passed away. And so Janet and I were talking about it. And we were going to do about a $25,000 kind of endowment gift, legacy type thing. But it's taken us a couple of years to decide to pull the trigger on that. And now I know why. Because this weekend, she told me, she goes, we need to do more. And I already had the number I wanted. This, even 3 years ago, I knew what I wanted to do. And I said, well, what's your number? She goes, 100,000. I said, well, that's my number. So the William Stone family legacy, history, everything that we've done, especially to this athletic program, but really because of the football and education department and even housing, because that's how Janet and I met when we were working in housing. But we're going to give, you know, over the next 5 years, we're going to give $20,000 a year towards that endowment that will be longer term so that we can generate money for rev share. And we're going to grow it because we've already talked about it. We've got some other avenues that we've got that we may be able to get that up. Now, I don't know how people look at that, but when you got a bunch of educators, you can give, you know, six-figure gift, and you can put your money behind what you've done already as an athletic director, as a coach around here. I don't know, that some families, that's millions of dollars.
And that's not factoring in the time that you've put in. I mean, that's just, yeah, that's big. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, but I look at it, and this is a family thing for us. This is a William Stone family legacy. And we're going to try to do more. We wish we could give more. But, you know, I was asked the other day, how am I going to engage – you know, the fan base. And I said, well, you know, one thing, here's what you got to deal with me now. I'm not only the athletic director, and got a pretty good history of success around here and fixing things and making things better, but I'm also a major athletic donor. Okay? Major athletic donor. Now, that's a positive for us as a family, but as an athletic department, we need somebody to pass me up.
So where are we now? Top 25? Top 20?
I hadn't done it yet, but I'd be willing to say if we were in the top 100, I mean, you know, that was on top of what we've already done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the thing is, I've already been on the phone all weekend talking to people, and I've got a list. We got people like Randy and Ann Stewart. I mean, the legacy, we have that same legacy. I've known Randy for almost 50 years. They're committed to the same thing to NIL, rev share, is they're going to do the same thing, $20,000 a year for the next 5 years. So that there's $100,000 total over the next 5 years from those two legacy families. Ray Burgess, you know, Ray and his, you know, his family, same thing, the history he's got here. And Ray and Luann, and I mean, just unbelievable. And he's always there. He not only, he works his, you know what, off just trying to help us raise money, whether it's a collective, what he can't tell anybody no, but he's committed $20,000 a year for the next 5 years, 100 towards that goal that we're talking about. You know, Ronnie Snow helped us with the Cat Fund Collective. He gave me a check a couple of weeks ago for $2,500. He's committed $2,500 for the next 5 years annually. And, you know, and the best part about it, when he gave it to me, he goes, "You put it wherever you think you need it." And I told him, I told him, I said, "That, you know how much that means to me, because that means you trust what we're, how we're going about doing it and what we want to do." And I really appreciate that. Ken Holland, you know Ken. Ken's doing the same thing, $2,500 the next 5 years annually. That's big. That's huge. You know, we'd already have Rich Keeval. Rich Keeval and I are another educator, coach, his dad. We grew up together, known each other for 50 years. I know when we made the move to Conference USA, he committed, you know, $100,000 to softball and $400,000 total for to men's basketball. Okay? That's big. That's big. He did that. Chris and Emily D'Amiliano, they did $100,000. Same thing for basketball from that perspective. So that, you know, and then you've got the Mickey Tyners who always give us, you know, $50,000, and he's committed that too as well. And then I got the phone before I came in here with Brian and Linda Smith. And it's kind of neat because, you know, I've known Brian for a long time, and Riley played for it, all that stuff. So, you know, we've got all these legacies and people who, this is their school and they care. And he upped us. He's going to do $25,000 a year for five. And that's a start, okay? And the thing that, how am I going to engage? Well, we need to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And we need everybody to not only – this is on top of what you're already doing, okay? And if the William Stone family with educators can do what we're doing, you can do something. You can do something.
Well, and this kind of goes back to what you had talked about before. You said it was going to be, people were going to start seeing a different Bobby Williams, and you're appreciative if you gave $1,000, but you'd like to, you got to start putting a zero at the end of that. And it's a very more a direct approach. It was funny. I was talking to my parents this weekend, and, you know, I was talking to my dad a little bit about it, and he had told me that he had bumped into you on the concourse at Shell Energy.
And I was a little irritated that night.
he said Bobby was, he goes, I don't know that I've ever seen him like that before. You know, I was just like, hey, these are some things I think we need to do to win. And he just looked at me and said, we need $2 million. And he goes, it was about as direct as I've seen him. And I go, well, you know, get used to that, because I think that's the direction he's going, is because he's now identified what has to happen, and it has to come from other people. It can't come from the university. And, you know, so if you've been giving, thank you, we're going to need more. And if you haven't, then you need to start.
Yeah. It's kind of, I guess it's a Barfield thing. I like to bounce things off of Barfield. You know, it's always been there for me, but I think what's really changed is, as hard work as we've put in to make this place better, you know, that's something. You can't discount that, and I'm proud of that. But I think what was a big game changer for me was because Janet and I, what we were talking about, that I wanted to show people that how much I care, how much we care, how much this place means to us, and then we're going to put whatever financial dollar we can put towards making it better. And I talked to the team earlier today, and I kind of mentioned that to them. I asked them to be quiet until we're in the process of signing this, but it's committed. And I wanted them to know how much I care about them, how much I believe in them, and that they just got to play better and help us and get people excited. And I challenge every Bearcat. If you're a true Bear, you know, all the real Bearcat fans and alumni and everything, help us. It's time. I mean, we look at what we've given you, and we haven't seen the financial backing. I mean, even this year, it's very irritating that we're building something new. We're spending $60 million for Bowers, and we're having to play at Shell Oil, And I say have because of we're building something new. And people aren't buying season tickets because they don't want to do this. It doesn't stop. The money doesn't stop. We're still running a program. You just can't stop and start and stop and start. We need it consistent. And I think, you know, when I talked about $2 million, that's a foundation. And you can figure it out. I don't know what the math is, but, you know, we need to average about $2,000 a donor, okay? We need 1,000 people to do it.
Yeah.
This university and what we've done for athletics should be able to do that. I don't understand why it doesn't. I mean, we're stepping up as a family. We've always stepped up as a family. The people that I named right there it's always the same people stepping up. We need new people. And the ones I'm going to challenge, too, is I'm going to challenge the former players, okay? You know, y'all call me, always want tickets, passes, everything like that. Can you give them his $2,000? Can you get your teammate to give his $2,000? Five, ten, whatever you can give, $500. I don't care what it is. I need it committed for 5 years because we need a base of $2 million with a goal to get over three. And that's just football. We ain't got to basketball.
Yeah.
Okay? We're going to do the same thing. It's through Bearcat Champions. Joe Reed and I talk. I really appreciate what Joe's done and Kevin and Matt Bethea, you know. And we didn't have to reinvent the wheel. Just got to explain it better. And I don't know how else I can explain it and be as direct as I can, but it, you know, it goes into Bearcat Champions, football enrichment, basketball enrichment, whatever you want to give it to. And you got to trust us that we're going to put it in the right spot. And right now we need it in rev share.
So are we in put up or shut up mode? Is that kind of where we are right now?
And you're trying to get me emotional, aren't you? You want me? I'm not going to be in coach mode right now. Okay? I'm not ready for that right now. I'm still trying to encourage from that standpoint, but it's time. I mean, it's time. I mean, what the success that we've had and the ups and downs, but we always overcome them. I mean, I go back to when I first came AD, and we were struggling in football, and then we had three good years in a row. And then we had two bad years, and then we went to the semifinals, and then we struggled. And Willie came in, and that first year, I'll never forget. That first year, that was a tough weekend. We lost to Western Illinois pretty bad. My dad passed away that Friday when we were on the plane. I was having a bad weekend, and everybody, made the wrong decision, all that stuff. It worked out. Same thing with Casey. We've had ups and after his first year. I think didn't we lose to Chadron State or something?
Pueblo.
Pueblo. That's what it was. I couldn't remember. It was one of those things.
Colorado Pueblo.
And, you know, and everybody was, and look what he did. It's the same thing with Phil and his staff. It's a different ball game right now, though. I mean, if we just had those two buckets, we'd be doing the same thing we always done, winning in spite of anything. We'd find a way. We need this other bucket, and we need it now. We need it big. I mean, we've got to have $1 million, and you do the math on however we need to add that. We're already got a process of doing this, and it's what we're doing. And we need you to commit to 5 years. No matter what, we need you to commit to 5 years. It's imperative. If you want even a chance to have what we've had in the past, we need you. And we need you to add about 10 more people from your network or whatever you want to call it. Look at your phone. Look at your address book, whatever, and find people to do it. And I'll say this, you know, I probably shouldn't say this, but I had a guy that when I was coaching, I won't say it is, but, you know, it called me out, you know, like, it's on me. It's always on me. I mean, yeah. give me a break, okay? But he called me out on, like, Facebook. I don't even have Facebook, but somebody told me about it. And I went, you know, dude, I'll pick up your call. You can call me anytime. We got a history.
Okay? Yeah, there's
you
access.
You were a player.
There's access you there.
Not everybody has access, but you do. Pick up the phone. But you're going to live your dream on Facebook? Have you closed your MySpace account yet?
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's got to stop. We've got to change this giving. This is about your school. Okay, this is about helping your athletic program, your football program, your basketball program, your baseball, whatever it may be. It's not mine, but I guarantee you I'm funding it.
You know, when you talk about the former players and where their involvement needs to be, it reminds me of a story Paul Ridings used to tell, PR, you know, longtime SID, my first boss here, his wife was playing pro tennis. And so Mary's on the pro tour, and, you know, she's ranked. She's, you know, 23 in the world.
Yeah.
And they're at a tournament, and she's in the front ticket office, and she's asking for comp tickets for her parents. And Billie Jean King was in there. And Billie Jean King ripped her to shreds for asking for free tickets. Basically said, they're the ones who should be supporting this. You know, you're getting this opportunity to play. Your family is the one. They should be supporting this because of, you know, you've got this chance to play. If we can't ask our family and our friends to support what we're doing, how can we ask other people to do this as well? Mm-hmm. And so it starts with the family and, you know, the ones who are wanting free tickets and are wanting free things. And she said Billie Jean King just laid into her, and she never asked for comps ever again. It was her parents paid for tickets from then on. And, you know, obviously Billie Jean King had that voice and she had that ability, but the message is still the same in that, you know, there were a lot of opportunities given to you. And, you know, if you want to turn around and get something back from this now, there's a cost to it.
Well, you know, I'm not doing this at Rice. That's my family legacy. Okay. Where my dad played, where I played. Okay. I'm not doing it at Rice. I'm doing it at Sam Houston. Okay. Because of what it is. And, you know, it's funny how people view things and how we need to find a way to get it done. Every president that I've worked for has done something dramatic to help us in athletics. Dr. Marks did it. Dr. Gattner did it. Dr. Hoyt did it. And Dr. White has stepped it up even more. Okay, so we're getting that support. The students have been amazing over the course of all the years. Now, I had 8 years of that because I had two daughters that came through here. So I not only – and we didn't get free tuition. We are now. Wish I could get a rebate, I guess. But even then, I don't want Billie Jean King to get on me either. But, you know, we paid that athletic fee. As you know, Janet and I helping with that. So I don't think I have to be nice anymore or cultivate. I'm encouraging you to step up. This is your school. And even the former players, you know, the Texas game, any game, they're calling me about passes. Everybody wants a pass. Nobody wants to pay for a ticket. Well, that's got to change. I mean, back when we were FCS, well, that was different. You know, we could help them out every once in a while and all that. But athletes need to step up. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. It can be $100. Contribute $100 and commit to doing that over 5 years. We'll take it. That's part of getting that average up there. And I think that's what people got to do. Or, you know, I don't want to think about anything less than being successful.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go that route. But we need you more than ever. And there's many of us who have always been there financially, work ethic, whatever we're doing, it's time for more people to do that. And that's the only way we're going to be able to do it. Now, I want you to know I'm not begging to do this, okay? I'm telling you, this is what's got to happen. And we need you really bad. And you want to talk to me? Come on. But you better be trying to get to my level.
I'm about to say, and we talked about this before, you know, there was a time when a donation was the difference between McDonald's as a post-game meal and, say, Olive Garden as a post-game meal, mm-hmm. where it just went into things like that. That's not the case anymore. That donation goes to actual real operating cost, player cost, and what it takes to put a winning product on the field. And I think that's one of the biggest differences. And, you know, we talked about as a department, as administrators, our mindset has had to change. And I don't think we've addressed enough the fact that as fans, as alumni, as former players, that mindset has to change.
And I apologize. I haven't been that clear or that direct over time because that's just the way I tried to lead, so to speak. But I want everybody to understand, I focus a lot on rev share right now, but there's three buckets that you can give to, okay? You can help us. Season tickets help us. You can buy a suite. You can buy club tickets. You can buy bench reserve tickets. You can buy a chair back, whatever, general admission. That all helps, and it all helps to pay for that.
Because I get it too. Not everybody's comfortable with NIL. I completely understand that. There's aspects of it I'm not comfortable with. And it is the reality of college athletics right now. And I understand when somebody says, you know, they get a scholarship and they get this and, you know, okay, that's great. But there's other areas that you can help out as well, because it all helps the collective there. And like I said, I get it. I know there are people who are not comfortable with the way that has evolved in college athletics, but you can still give. There's still areas that you can help out in that aspect as well.
And it's going to affect all three buckets. I mean, if you give to scholarships, or you give to tickets, or you do whatever you do donation-wise, that's going to free up money for rev share. We got to grow the budget so that we can do all three of those, okay? And you got to understand that that's extremely important for our success. It all three of them, whether you like it or not, that's what we're competing against. So, you know, I respect your decision if you don't want to do it and you don't want to fund it. But sorry, but that's where we're at now. And so we've got to get that mindset. We've got to change our mindset about that. I've had to. It's not what I signed up for. I mean, my whole career at the end is not what I really would like to be doing, okay? I really don't want to be, you know, pushing this. But we do. We have to. And I think we can do it. I think it's there. And we got to change our mindset on giving. We've got to get numbers. It's numbers, and we haven't been able to grow that because people are so emotionally driven on certain outcomes. And I'm a fan too, okay? I'm a fan. I get upset, you know, I get upset about several things, you know? But it doesn't mean I stop giving or stop trying to find a way to make it better. And that's what everybody needs to realize. I mean, when you give your $100, if you give $100, man, thank you very, very much. You commit to 5 years, I'll really thank you even more. But it's got to be there. And you've got to support it. I mean, support these kids and these coaches. I mean, I don't know how many times I hear so many people, it's about the players, it's about the kids, it's about the students. And then they're melting down after a loss. I mean, if there's ever a time that coaches and student athletes and managers and trainers and everybody, support staff, everybody involved in athletics needs our fan base is when we're going through what we need now. I mean, we need to be positive about these kids and pump them up and encourage them. And these coaches need the same thing as well. And I don't say that enough because, you know, you have to listen to all the negative.
Well, I think we've covered a lot. I think there's probably a ton more that that we can talk about, but I'll go ahead and stop here.
We're going to do it again, right?
You need your own show. We need your own show just to address this stuff on the regular because there is a ton to talk about, and there's a ton of other topics. I mean, even right now, I'm sitting here thinking about three other ways we could go with this conversation, but I think we're at a good stopping point right now. But, yeah, we got two home games down in Houston over the next 2 weeks. We'd love to see people out there for those. Like you said, if it's just tickets and it's just for support for the student athletes to see that support in the stands, that goes a long way. And then after we clear through all of that, we got a little time, and let's sit down and do this again and build on a couple of these topics.
I'm ready. And I really want everybody to understand where I'm coming from on this. This is 44 years of our family, and my heart bleeds orange. Everybody says that, but I put too much into this place. My family has. So this is a family thing for us, and we need you to come to support any of our teams, and we need it really bad. And we need you to come out, cheer, be positive, encourage people when it's good and when it's bad. So I just hope you respect and understand that.
All right. Well, Bobby, appreciate you coming in studio to chat. And like I said, we'll do this again here in a couple of weeks and build on some of these topics. But I think the message is very clear and direct. And, you know, let's keep talking about it.
All right. Sounds good.